Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Tuesday, May 19th, and Shrek turned 25 yesterday. The original movie is back in theaters for a limited run. Shrek 5 comes out in December with the original cast returning, and the franchise, which started as a farting ogre in a swamp, has grossed nearly $4 billion at the box office. But that number, as big as it is, barely scratches the surface of how animated movies actually make money. The box office is the advertisement. The real business is everything that comes after. Just think about it. The toys, the theme parks, the pajamas, the lunchboxes, the Broadway shows, and the streaming rights. Disney's Cars is widely considered one of Pixar's weakest films by critics, but it has generated over $10 billion in merchandise sales alone. The movie that most people dismissed or just didn't like is one of the most profitable properties in entertainment history. We're covering this today because Shrek's anniversary is a good excuse to explain how Hollywood actually works, and the answer starts with a fired executive, a grudge, and a deliberate insult aimed at the most powerful man in the entertainment industry. In the early 1990s, Jeffrey Katzenberg was the head of Disney's film division and the driving force behind its animation renaissance. Under his leadership, Disney produced The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and The Lion King. He also brokered the deal that gave Disney exclusive distribution rights to Pixar's films. By any measure, he was one of the most valuable executives in the company. In 1994, after Disney president Frank Wells died in a helicopter crash, Katzenberg expected to be promoted into the role. CEO Michael Eisner refused. Reports from the time described the rejection as personal and dismissive. Eisner reportedly told associates that Katzenberg didn't deserve the position. Katzenberg left Disney, sued the company for money he believed he was owed, and settled for $250 million out of court. And with that cash in his pocket, he got to work. Katzenberg partnered with Steven Spielberg and David Geffen to launch DreamWorks SKG. Its animation division became Katzenberg's weapon. DreamWorks' first animated release, Ants, was a direct competitor to Pixar's A Bug's Life, and Katzenberg had seen Pixar pitch the concept before he left Disney. The timing was not a coincidence. But Shrek was DreamWorks' real shot. The 2001 film wasn't just an animated movie. It was a systematic dismantling of Disney's brand. Not sure how many of you remember the movie or have recently seen it, but every fairy tale trope Disney had built its empire on was mocked. Singing princesses were parodied, heroic perfection was replaced with a crude, solitary ogre, Pinocchio was dismissed as a possessed toy, Tinkerbell was caged, the villain, Lord Farquaad, was a short, vain, authoritarian ruler of a theme park-perfect kingdom. Even the name Farquaad was widely interpreted as a play on a profanity, and the character was, by nearly all accounts, a direct caricature of Michael Eisner. Katzenberg even showed a cut of the film to Disney before release. Their lawyers cleared it, and honestly, even if they recognized the insult, it would be pretty tough to prove. Shrek made $488 million worldwide, won the first Academy Award for Best Animated Feature, a category that didn't exist before Shrek proved non-Disney animation could compete at that level, and launched a franchise. Katzenberg had built a rival studio, humiliated his former boss on screen, and made nearly $500 million doing it. Eisner was pushed out of Disney in 2005, and Bob Iger, his replacement, immediately bought Pixar and began the acquisition strategy into the dominant entertainment company that it went on to become. Katzenberg's revenge may have been the best thing that ever happened to Disney, because it scared them into becoming better. Moving on from traditional animation, George Lucas figured out the real economics of Hollywood in 1977. When he made Star Wars, he accepted a lower directing fee from 20th Century Fox in exchange for keeping the licensing and merchandising rights to the franchise. Fox thought they were getting a good deal, and honestly, it was not that bad for them. The Star Wars films have grossed about $10 billion at the box office. The merchandise, though, has generated over $70 billion. Lucas made more money from toys than from tickets, and it was not close. That insight reshaped the entire industry. And animated films are where it works best. An animated character doesn't age. It doesn't demand a raise. It doesn't have a scandal. It doesn't negotiate or renegotiate its contract after a hit. It can be printed onto a t-shirt, molded into a toy, built into a theme park ride, and licensed to a breakfast cereal. All at the same time, forever. The production cost of an animated film is high, usually between $150 and $250 million for a major studio release. But once the character exists, they generate revenue across every consumer category for decades. The number makes the box office look small. The Lion King earned roughly $1.6 billion in combined theatrical runs. Its Broadway musical grossed over $1.7 billion on its own, making it the highest-grossing Broadway production in history. Now add merchandise, home video streaming, and theme park revenue, and the franchise has generated well over $10 billion. Frozen earned $1.2 billion at the box office, but its merchandise revenue in the first year alone was estimated at $100 billion when you include global licensing across clothing, toys, home goods, and theme park integrations. The Elsa dress became one of the best-selling children's products of all time. Disney's Cars franchise is the clearest example of the gap between critical reception and economic value. Critics were lukewarm, as we mentioned. The first film made $462 million at the box office, modest by Pixar standards. But Cars was designed for a demographic that buys merchandise relentlessly. Young boys who love vehicles. Toy cars have been a childhood staple for decades. Give those cars personalities in a movie, and the merchandise sells itself. The franchise has generated over $10 billion in retail sales. Cars Land at Disney California Adventure is one of the most visited attractions in any Disney park. The movie that film critics called Pixar's weakest entry is one of the company's strongest commercial properties because the movie was never the product, the characters were. This is worth understanding because the animated franchise model is now the dominant strategy in entertainment, and it explains decisions that otherwise seem irrational. Disney paid $4 billion for Lucasfilms in 2012, not because they wanted to make three more Star Wars movies, which they did. It's because they wanted the characters for theme parks, merchandise, and streaming content for the next 50 years. Disney paid $4 billion for Marvel for the exact same reason. The movies are profitable on their own, but the real value is owning characters that can be monetized across every platform, every product category, and pretty much every generation. This is also why every studio is chasing animation and franchises, and why original, standalone films are getting harder to finance. A brilliant standalone drama might make $200 million at the box office and win awards, but an animated franchise film might make $800 million at the box office and then go on to generate $5 billion in merchandise over the next decade. So if you're a studio executive deciding where to put your money, the math really isn't close. The franchise model isn't killing original filmmaking because studios hate art. It's killing it because the economics of character ownership are so overwhelmingly favorable that anything without sequel and merchandise potential just looks like a bad investment. Shrek's legacy fits neatly into the story. The franchise grossed nearly $4 billion at the box office across four films and two Puss in Boots spin-offs. DreamWorks Animation as a whole was acquired by Universal in 2016 for $3.8 billion, a price driven largely by the value of its character library. Katzenberg left after the sale. He went on to start Quibi, a mobile streaming service that burned $1.7 billion and shut down in 6 months. The man who built an empire out of spite couldn't replicate the magic without the grudge. Sometimes the fuel matters just as much as the engine, I guess. So if this comes up in conversation, here's how to think about it. Shrek was created by a fired Disney executive as a deliberate insult to his former boss, and it launched a $4 billion franchise. But the real lesson of Shrek and the animation industry isn't about the movies. The box office is the advertisement. The real money is in merchandise, theme parks, licensing, and streaming rights. Cars made $462 million at the box office and over $10 billion in merchandise. The Lion King's Broadway musical alone has outgrossed its theatrical run. George Lucas figured this out in 1977 when he traded his directing fee for merchandise rights to Star Wars, and every major studio has been following his playbook since. Animated characters don't age, don't demand raises, and can be licensed forever. That's why Disney paid $4 billion for Marvel and $4 billion for Lucasfilm. Not for the movies, for the characters. The next time you see a kid in an Elsa dress or a Lightning McQueen backpack, you're looking at the real product. The movie, that was just the commercial. So stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow. And even though the actual films don't make that much money, you should still go see Shrek in theaters anyway. It's an absolute classic and one of my favorite movies of all time.